You have questions, we have answers. This is Jane Muller.
And this is Ken Muller. Welcome to our show, All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane. Well, today, Jane, we're going to switch gears a little bit. Real estate is the focus of our show. And what goes hand in hand with real estate is the quality of living in a town. And we're here today. We have with us Adam Neary. Adam is the executive producer of Playhouse 22, which is a production that's produced in East Brunswick. So, Adam, we want to give you a warm welcome to our show.
Good morning.
Welcome.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
Yeah. So, I mean, the town would not be the same without theater, arts, and that's a big draw why people move to a town, and certainly East Brunswick is no exception to it. So we want to really delve into this, the Playhouse 22, find out the history behind it. But to get started with, first give us your bio.
Well, thank you for being here. It's good to be here. I'm a lifelong resident of East Brunswick. I've been a resident since 1981. I went to a K-12 in the public schools and have not left. And I've been involved with many facets of the community pretty much from eighth grade through now.
Yeah.
And currently, I'm more involved with Playhouse 22, which we talked about. But outside of that, I'm one of the charter members at the East Brunswick Arts Coalition, mm-hmm. which was founded a couple of years ago from Mayor Cohen's initiative to kind of bring all the different arts and cultural groups together under one umbrella. But I'm also a member of the Township Planning Board. Uh-huh. I'm also on the Environmental Commission. And I'm also on the East Brunswick Public Library Foundation Board, which raises money to support our great library in town.
Absolutely. Wow. We have so much great thing going on for East Brunswick. The library, the art commission support so many culture and community events. Great job. It's really good to be living in the town.
Yeah. It really embraces arts and culture, as you talked about earlier. It helps quality of life.
Yes.
And right. With a good quality of life, you have a stronger community.
Right.
That's where my mind comes from.
Absolutely. That's been the consensus of a lot of the mayors. They say, why do you move to a town? You move to the town, of course, if you have children, for the quality of schools. Number two is safety. Number three is quality of life, which includes the arts, the theaters. And then, of course, I guess number four would be the safety. You want to be safe. So arts is a very integral part of the whole picture of choosing a community.
Yeah. When I have open house, Adam, right, I always brag. I say, you know what, in East Brunswick, I never hear any children from our school system whom doesn't play music. Yep. You know, you may not like it, but you all know how at least one or two instrument. You're yep. good at it. Our daughter started with a piano, and she didn't like it.
Yeah.
And the elementary school, the teacher brought an old instrument. She fell in love with the clarinet. So she's been, since she played very well clarinet. I mean, old kids, I mean, that's what I love about East Brunswick. I grew up in China. And study. That's all you know. That's why in our household, there was joke, Mom, what do you know? What else do you know, right? I said, I know everybody's house value. That's about it. But truly, right, I mean, that's what I love. And many residents will agree with me, love East Brunswick. It's very round. You know, they have a culture, they have an event, they have, obviously school is a first class, there's no doubt about that, but have art, they have music. It's like a happy place. Yep. Yes, yes, yep. yes.
Yeah. So let's talk about this Playhouse 22 and how long it's been around and what's been happening with it.
Yep. Well, Playhouse 22 is now in our 65th season. It was founded in 1958 as the East Brunswick Community Players. And it got its name Playhouse 22 because of 22 years after the founding of the Players, they found our first permanent home in 1980-81, which was the old location on 210 Dunham's Corner Road across from Young Israel. And that was a combination of an old schoolhouse that was right along Dunham's Corner Road and a public works garage. And to create the theater, they were pulled together. The schoolhouse was physically moved about 60 feet to be right next to the public works garage. And the garage became the theater. The schoolhouse became the dressing rooms and the green room and the prop room. And a lobby was built to connect it. So that was our home from 1980-81 to 2005, when we had the opportunity to move from the old location, which was quaint and nice, but mm-hmm. it pales in comparison to what we now have with the Community Arts Center. So we moved into the Arts Center in 2009 and have been running strong since then. And as a community theater, we have seen hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of performers, volunteers, actors, as well as tech people and guests come through our doors. So we're really proud of our history.
Wow, that's a long history. Thank you for that.
Yeah, I didn't know that. That's something I learned. So I guess now where the location used to be, now it's probably that newer development that's there, right? Because
Pine Hill Court.
Pine Hill Court.
Yeah, that's right. You should know, Jane.
That's my, which was built maybe the last seven, eight years.
Now it's no longer new, super new, but yeah.
That's right.
It's actually more like 15 years.
15 years. That's how fast time has gone, right? I think of it as new, but now, man, 15 years has gone by and it's still. But that was, so yeah, so that's big history that land was used for the theater at one point, which
was
up till 2005. Yeah.
And that site was actually the original site of the fairgrounds. The fairgrounds were held there until the early 1960s before it moved to the current location on Cranberry Road. So
now you move back. Yeah.
We got to have your dad come on one. He could tell us the history too, right? Riders Lane was only a country road and, you know, it's all that good stuff.
That's right.
Yes. I still call Riders Lane New Riders Lane, where we're going from the municipal building down to Ruse Lane. Yeah. That's still New Riders Lane for me, even though it's been 35 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a long time. But our art center is really first class.
Yes.
It's a beautiful professional, and it's really, really good.
We have a great partnership with the township to ensure that we can put on top quality shows and perform shows and do all the things that we do in partner with a lot of the township activities. And we work hand in hand with the Arts Commission to help with their programs inside the space. The newly formed East Brunswick Symphony Orchestra is going to be performing there in January.
Wow.
Which I don't want to kind of...
Jump
the headline on that, but that's going to be announced in the next couple of days. So we're going to have it's a lot of partnership there, and it's
fantastic.
And the township's rec department summer theater has moved in there after being at the high school for a year. So there's a lot of partnership there too. So
So it's getting good use from a variety of sources. Yep. For sure.
We're there all the time.
Yeah.
It's been almost an hour since I've been there last.
So how many? So how many plays? How many productions a year do you guys do?
Right now, we do four main stage shows, which is our full-fledged productions with all the technical and the traditional seating and the theater seating. We do what three black box shows, which if you don't know what black box shows are, they are intimate, small productions. Mm-hmm. There are 30 to 40 seats. We actually have the audience. We transform the stage so the audience can sit on the stage, and the action takes place right in the middle of it. So we do three of those shows, and those are much more driven by stories, not with the lights and costumes and everything else. This is much more cast of two, three people, a lot more of the story, a lot less of the, you know, the technical side that goes to things. Mm-hmm. And then we do a Christmas Carol, which was just obviously it's December, it's Christmas
Carol.
Running
now, right, until...
Which has been part of our DNA of the shows that we've done since 1994. And it's just always a special time of the year when we see Christmas Carol. As we always say, take it out of the box in November, put it on the stage, and put it back in the box. Because we've been doing the same show for so many years.
Right. And why don't you share, if listeners want to attend one of these shows, how do they go about getting tickets? Do they go to the website or how do they?
Yeah. We have a website, playhouse22.org.
Okay.
That you can easily buy tickets. Pick your own seats. You can print up your own tickets, put it on your phone. Or you can just call our box office.
And what is the number for the box office? Or they can
leave a message.
Leave a message.
We're all volunteers, so we check the messages most nights. And that's 732-254-3939.
Right. Yep. Wow. So it's all volunteers. The staff is all volunteers. What about the actors and actresses that are involved in these productions? Are some paid or they're all volunteers?
Yep. All the performers are volunteers. All the board members, people like myself, I've never seen a penny from the theater.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's partially because we have a passion for the arts.
Yes.
Sure. And what I have always long said, community theaters, especially like Playhouse 22, we are New Jersey people volunteering our time. Many of the performers on stage, of which I am not one of, we encourage talent, of which I am none of.
Me too.
They're all come from different disciplines. Educators, engineers, our Ebenezer Scrooge for a year was a tow truck driver.
Interesting.
So they come from different disciplines, but this is their hobby and this is their passion. They take off their work clothes and put on a costume and join us on stage.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Wow. That goes for the singers too, right?
Oh,
we've
yeah.
seen productions here and we were mm-hmm. very impressed with the performances. They really were like professional level.
Yeah. One year, I think you guys had the Fruit Loop, right? The outside Fruit Loop.
Footloose.
Yeah. I didn't know what you're saying. That's my Chinese accent. That was excellent.
That was really fantastic.
Yeah, it was outdoor summer. One of those summer events where people bring the chairs and they just sit out there and watch on the stage.
Yeah. That's part of the partnership with the township. The administration, the mayor came up to us. We'd like to do something in the amphitheater, so we came up with a plan.
Yeah.
And it was certainly an experience. And we had a lot of good time. We had a lot of new experiences in doing outdoor theater. It was the first time we had ever done anything on that scale.
Yeah.
And we know the audiences and we know the cast had a good time with it.
Oh, that was beautiful. That was like a really professional level. I didn't expect, you know, in the local level with all the volunteers can put up such a beautiful, high-quality production.
Yeah, the singing, I thought, was first class, the way the performances. Yeah, it really moved
good.
You. You could feel you got into it so much.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Storyline, it's beautiful on top of it.
Yeah. You guys plan anything like that in the near future?
Well, we're focused on this current season now, which goes through June. Mm-hmm. And we start planning out next season right after the new year. That's when we start doing what we do. Our process is very open-ended in terms of we open out to the world of community theater. And it's very active in the world. We have a very active community theater setting. Uh-huh. We have sister theaters right here in Franklin, which is Villagers Theater. We have a theater. Like, we all work together. Mm-hmm. So we put it out there in early January. We're looking for directors and people to submit shows. And last year, we received 138 submissions for 4 spots.
Wow.
So we start screening this.
That was my question. Yeah. How do you go about getting the next production, the next shows lined up? Which, so you're kind of
jumping into that. Commercial property situated directly off Route 18 in East Brunswick is available for sale or lease. This exceptional 2-story building features a fully updated interior with a bright and airy ambiance, creating an inviting atmosphere for businesses with an opportunity to present your business to more than 50,000 passing vehicles per day. To find out more, contact Ken at 908-337-9448. Attention all investors! A 2-story fully leased medical building is for sale. Good cap rate with long-term stable tenants. Corner lot with approximately 30 car spots, located on Route 33 in Neptune, just one block away from the Jersey Shore University Medical Center. For more details, please call Ken at 908-337-9448. That's Ken at 908-337-9448. Impressive second-level office suite in excellent condition is available for lease. Approximately 2,400 square feet consists of private offices, conference rooms and kitchen, and private restrooms. Perfect for attorneys, accountants, or any office professional use. Situated in prime location on Route 130 in the Lake Farrington Plaza Business Park, in close proximity to major highways including Route 1, the New Jersey Turnpike, and Route 287. For more information, please contact Ken at 908-337-9448. That's Ken at 908-337-9448. You are listening to All About Real Estate with Ken and Jay Muller on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports, New Jersey. Now let's get back to the show.
Okay, welcome back to our show. We're joined with Adam Neary, the executive producer of Playhouse 22, located right in the heart of East Brunswick. So we have Christmas Carol that's playing through today, this Sunday, and then you're going to be looking ahead to 2024 and getting those productions lined up. So you started touching upon, you already have a lot of strong demand from directors that have scripts that they want to share, you know, get in performances. So how do you guys go about selecting? Like, there's only like four slots, right?
Yes. Yep.
And so you've got to go. So you and your crew go through the writings and kind of discuss which ones you want.
What we try to do is, first of all, we try to figure out what we want to achieve for a season. We not necessarily themes, but more. Are we looking to do a more modern musical? I mean, we always call modern musicals the things that you know on Broadway that played in the last few years. Or more traditional musicals like Guys and Dolls or Camelot. I mean, shows that are from a different era? Mm-hmm. Or do we want to do shows, all sorts of shows? We also have to look at the audiences, what their needs are. And we've seen an evolution in the last few years from more of an audience who wanted to look for more newer pieces. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The shows that've been on Broadway recently, mm-hmm. or the shows that are better known, and more of the chestnut older musicals are not as popular with this mm-hmm. audience anymore. We also want to look at, we know what our demand is. We're not going to be able to do a show like Hamilton. First of all, we can't get the rights for anything that's playing on Broadway. We're just unable to do because of contractual restrictions. But we know that there are shows that I always go back to Damn Yankees, one of my favorite musicals of all time. We'll never be able to do Damn Yankees because you're going to need at least a dozen 20-something-year-old male dancers who know how to, who look like they know how to play baseball, who are also tend to be very good singers. Mm-hmm. We know there's challenges in terms of casting a show like that. Mm-hmm, sure. So we look at shows that we know we can do. And so we mix it up. And then we look at shows that have a strong message. Mm-hmm. Our black box shows this year, all the three shows we're doing, which is mm-hmm. we did the show Niceties in November. Our next show is El Emocionary, which opens January 6th. And then Check Please, which is in March.
Okay.
Those are the smaller, intimate black box shows. Mm-hmm. They're all about relationships. Yeah. So there's a theme there. So what do we want that theme for future shows? Are we looking for shows that have strong women leads? Do we want to have shows that talk about the vulnerability of an immigrant community? I mean, those are the type of larger picture shows that we do. And then we look at what is in front of us. This past season, we got 138 submissions for four spots. So obviously, we have to narrow it down.
Down, yeah.
And so we do that whittling process.
And that's a committee. I'm sorry to interrupt.
It's a committee among the theater family, mm-hmm. board members, some interested parties. We'll look at the technical side, the artistic side, the financial side. I mean, the theater is still a business. We still have to run a business. We don't want to do shows that lose money. But at the same time, we're willing to take a risk on a lesser known show, knowing that we can possibly make the money back from a bigger name show. Mm-hmm. So we go through that process. It starts in earnest probably in January and goes through March and April. And we announce our season mid-spring.
Okay.
And the season goes September through June. So we're right now in the middle of our 2023-2024 season.
Oh, gotcha. You go September through June. So you're like, it's like a fiscal year type.
Yeah, it coincides with our fiscal year, too.
But,
I mean, for this upcoming rest of the season, El Emocionary, which is one of our black shows, is a story about a woman and her mother and her daughter. They're all eclectic, eccentric personalities. And how relationships have fallen apart between the three of them. And how they all potentially can come together at the end. And then in February, we're doing a show, She Kills Monsters, which is a modern new play mm-hmm. about a sister whose sister passed away, and she didn't know much about her sister's life, and find out there's a whole alternative world of Dungeons and Dragons, which I know about this much, for those who are listening to the radio, it's about half an inch, of knowledge about Dungeons and Dragons, but it's a story about two sisters and how they find each other out.
Yeah.
And then we're doing Steel Magnolias in spring, which is one of our chestnut classical plays. Mm-hmm. And Memphis in June, which is a musical major musical about racial relations in Memphis during the late 1950s and 60s. So there's there's shows that have stories to it, but they're also for entertainment value.
Right. And I guess it's a good balancing. Like, it's like hearing the shows you're doing, there's some that are just for entertainment and some want to have a message to send, you know, whether it be, you know, about the family struggles or racial relations or, you know, so it's important. It's a lot goes into the thought process of what shows to produce.
Yep. This past fall in October, we did Toxic Avenger, which is a musical about New Jersey. It's a really goofy, stupid, silly musical about an environmental nut who gets thrown into, no offense, nut, who gets thrown into a vat of toxic waste and emerges as a superhero.
Oh.
And he gets the girl and saves the day kind of stuff. And it was a rock musical, actually premiered at George Street Playhouse in New Brunswick probably a decade ago. And it's just, to your point, there's shows that have meaning. Toxic Avenger was just all about having fun.
Having fun, right.
And it's a cast of five, and all they did was have fun. There's two cast members who were the ensemble members. They had 14 costumes between each of them.
Yeah. Wow.
So every 5 minutes, they were changing costumes.
And you probably have a big vat where you drop the person, gets thrown in. I'm thinking of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, where that kid got sunk in the chocolate. That just came to my mind. Like, this, it would be very similar for the on-stage production. You probably have to have, you can't be have elaborate props, but you probably just have something where the guy gets submerged in, and then he emerges as a superhero.
What we did was it was a two-story type set. And the orchestra was upstairs, but the vat itself was two stories high. So when he gets dumped into it, he's actually being dumped underneath the platform. Uh-huh. And it was built was a slide. So he slid into place. Uh-huh. He had about a minute to change from his normal street-looking clothes into the toxic costume, with the makeup on, the wig, and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
And every time he emerged from it, he always get a big round of applause because it was so much fun. And every night he hammed it up even more and more. It was great to watch.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
And then he goes on to rescue the girl, you said?
He gets the girl and saves the town, the fictional town of Tromaville, New Jersey, which is somewhere between Carteret and Linden. It's so many New Jersey jokes. And we threw Rutgers jokes, Aaron Bruce Springsteen jokes, Johnny's hot dog shop up in North Jersey. We threw in all these different New Jersey jokes into the show.
Wow, this sounds so much fun.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, sounds like
wait.
A lot
yeah.
of fun.
Yeah. That's great. That's yeah. great. Yeah. Yeah. yeah, I have a question. I know a lot of my clients, right? Their children really enjoying the acting theater, right? Can the high school or the student get involved?
Absolutely.
How they can get involved?
No. Just show up.
Just show up.
Just show up. I got my start at Playhouse 22 when I was at Churchill in ninth grade in 1991. So I haven't looked back. And that's how I got my start I had just fallen into summer theater, the rec department's program a year beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a little audition notice in the newspaper that they were looking for high school kids to be in a high school-like show, come out to audition. So I showed up at the old theater, told them, can't sing, can't dance, can't act. I just want to get involved. So they put me in the show for a small bit part and haven't left. And I transitioned from being little bit parts to stage crew to assistant stage manager, stage managing to producer to executive producer. And I think it's a great experience for artistic, not just kids who want to be on stage, but kids who want to be backstage.
Right.
Because they get to work outside of the high school setting and work with adults who have a lot of skill sets. Mm-hmm. Theater is a very welcoming, very judgment-free zone.
Mm-hmm.
And they will learn skills, not only about theatrical stuff, but also adult skills.
Yeah.
How to work as a team.
And team building.
And confidence.
Mm-hmm.
There are plenty of high school students have come up through this through my tenure at the Playhouse who I've seen them blossom in their professional lives, in their own personal lives, because of the confidence and the skills that they learned working with adults when they were in high school.
Yeah. Actually, the elementary school, they always have a theater week. I really, really have to say we're very grateful for that.
Yeah.
Because our daughter, when she was little, she's very, very shy. Single child, very shy.
But we encouraged her to get into the – she did participate in the show, but she didn't want the lead role. But we always encouraged her to say, hey, Maria, why don't you apply for the lead role? And she didn't want to do it. But at least she got on the stage, and she got much better, because by playing clarinet all these years, she's given many performances, and she's played in solo events. So that helped her. That's helped her.
But the music changed her.
But theater and acting, that's all. Those are all positives, regardless if you do it as a profession or just for the love of it. Those are great life building skills for the reasons you mentioned. Just people have to interact with one another. It builds self-esteem, confidence, teamwork, all great tools.
And have fun too.
And you're entertaining people.
It's non-judgmental and have fun. You can be yourself. You can be silly. Yeah. You can be goofy. You can do whatever. It's just that's truly you.
Yeah.
Yes.
When I got started with this Township Summer Theater Program with Elliot Taubenslag, who's one of the founding fathers of East Brunswick's arts community, and we would put on a show every week. And one day he said to me, when I was probably in college, he goes, this is not about the show necessarily. This is about the confidence skills. This is giving younger people, high school students, the confidence to explore their own paths.
Yes.
And that was really a lesson that I took in that yes, we do art. We try our best to put on the best shows possible, but have fun.
Have fun is the main.
Life is too short not to have fun.
I totally agree. I think that's one thing I love about East Brunswick education, right? I grew up in China. It's totally different system in China. GPA, GPA, and the GPA. You don't know anything but GPA, right? You get judged, that's all you do. But here, the children is very round. You know, they're very happy. They all have music. They all have art. They all, you know, they all have something. When they happy or they sad, they can find different channel their emotion too.
Yep.
So that's really great. I mean, that's going to help them build a more feel, you know, more filled person rather than just one thing, you know, just study. Because once you finish your high school, finish your college, you realize the study only become small part of your life.
Yeah.
You have to really utilize your knowledge and to do things, work rather than just study, right?
Yeah.
Whatever you learn is important, but how you're going to make use of it is more important.
Exactly.
And but having fun, have a confidence, how to, you know, promote yourself, promote, you know, the company, what do you do? That's become very important part. Having the theater experience, that's definitely give them a lot of training and the confidence.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Yeah, that's great. So do you have tryouts like for the cast? Is it, I guess there is a selection process, right? So, but if anybody who's interested in the theater, if they don't, even if they don't get the part they auditioned for, there's always probably some way they could help out or support the theater cast, right?
Yep. Yeah. All our shows are open audition process.
Yeah.
We usually put a notice out there about a month to 6 weeks mm-hmm. before the actual audition.
Uh-huh.
And anybody who wants to audition can try out.
So yeah. Jane and I can audition.
No.
You wouldn't look at the name Jane Muller and just say, no, you're gone. We're not even going to hear you, right? she could audition for a singing part if she wanted to, right?
Oh, my God. Right. Everybody will be leaving.
Open process. It's an open process.
That would be a way to scare off the competition.
You sing tenor. 10 or 12 miles away. Sing,
yeah. There you go. That's a
sing
good
solo.
One, right?
Solo, no one can hear you. Those are the jokes I've been saying. 400 years. But as we're wrapping up, auditions are open to the public.
Okay.
And it's on our website, again, playhouse22.org, yeah. And on our social media feeds, and just come to audition. And we try to make it as open and easy process. But auditions are intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
They're like an interview.
Yeah.
And especially if you're coming in without knowing who those people are. I mean, we have people who do come to audition to our shows. They've never set foot in the theater, but they heard about us through the whole world of community theater, and do your best. And we cast based on your quality and what kind of person you are. We can see that in auditions.
Yeah.
And if you're a good person and your talent is good but not great, we'd rather cast a good person who's talented, who's a good person, not a great talent who's not good to work
with. That's,
Yeah.
That's well said. Well, thank you so much, Adam, for appearing on our show. We're out of time. We'll see everyone next week. Have a good rest of the weekend.
Thank you.
You have been listening to All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane Muller, airing every Sunday at 10 a.m. on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports, New Jersey. For feedback and suggestions for future topics, go to their Facebook page, All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane, or email them at realestatewithkenandjane@gmail.com or call 732-898-2266.